You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
You Must Remember This is a podcast about the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn Radio. Craig Hoffman with you, Anthony Haney alongside as well, of course, producer of the show. And Anthony, I will say there's some real good potential, real things content out there on the internet, thanks to the fact that the Patriots and Commanders social teams worked together at practices.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Some collaboration, some good stuff that I think even Vrabel got in on. So excited. I just passed one that I didn't get a chance to listen to with the sound on yet. But they were like, which landmark is in New England, which one is in D.C.? So that feels like it could be a fun one. I don't know if it'll work in audio form, but I do think that's probably a fun one. So shout out to the Commanders and Patriots for some fun ideas on their Instagram pages. I'm sure they're on other social medias as well. I just happened to see it on Instagram. All right. Last night, speaking of high quality NFL programming, NFL Networks, HBO's Hard Knocks, NFL Films is involved there. Debuted Tuesday night, 9 o'clock, which means I watched it actually this morning. We were going to watch it last night and then got sidetracked. And so watched it this morning, Anthony. And classic Hard Knocks, man. You get like the Josh Allen in episode one is there with the Bills. And then the big talking point coming out of it is that the Bills are one of five teams that still go away to a college for training camp. The Commanders never even they haven't been to a college since they were in like Frostburg State back in the day, which is something John Keim apparently remembers. Cakes was there back in the day. Yeah, he's been covering the team a long time, bro. Like literally, I think longer than you've been alive, which is amazing because he's only 22 years old.
John nice. Keim.
Yeah. By the way, Keim, you'll be hearing from him in about 10 minutes here on the show. And also, ironically, I drove through Frostburg on our way to Ohio when we went out there. So I was like, oh, if this was 25 years ago, I might have been here for work, although I wasn't working here yet. Anyway, the point is, Anthony, the Commanders, like, they did the Richmond bit. There's other teams that have done stuff like that where it's like, we'll go, we'll stay in, like, a different city that's nearby. The Saints forever went to the Greenbrier in West Virginia, but they were up there at that super-duper nice resort, so that's a way to do it. I do think there is something to like going away for camp, but like what was I think great about like when the Commanders did it in Richmond or like the Bills do it in Rochester, which is, you know, how would you say 75 miles from Buffalo? Put our central and western New York knowledge from our Syracuse days to the test here. It's like 75 miles from Buffalo. You can get home quickly. So when players have an off day, they can go home, they can see their families, and like I think that's important too. Yes. This is a job. You're paid a whole lot of money if you make the team and you're a veteran, especially. But even if you make the team on a rookie salary, like an $800,000 contract or something like that is nothing to sneeze at in real world money. But these are grown adults. Like the idea that you just get to take them away and do whatever you want with them for training camp, like that's a little ridiculous. Just be like, hey, you're a multi-millionaire. Who, by the way, your body is your meal ticket. And we're going to push two beds together in a dorm because you're an enormous person and you can't actually fit in a singular twin bed. And that's where we're going to have you do your most important prep for the season. I understand the nostalgia. I understand the team bonding elements. Like, I do think it's not a clean positive or negative. I'm just good with dudes sleeping in their own beds for training camp. And, you know, we can spend quality time in the building together and find ways to bond outside of being stuck at some, you know, state university.
Quick question, Craig. Can you name the five teams that hold their training camps away from their home facilities?
Okay, so this is just teams that do it away, period.
Actually, there's one, two, three, four. There's six.
Okay, well, the one that was probably not in the stat that's going around would be the Dallas Cowboys, because they don't go to a university, I don't think. They have, like, a facility in Oxnard, California.
Yeah.
The Kansas City Chiefs, I believe, still do camp at a college somewhere in Missouri.
Yep.
The Bills, obviously. Now's where this gets funky. I'm going through in my head, ticking off teams, something I guess I could do out loud. Vegas just does it at their facility, right? The Raiders, they don't go anywhere.
Nope.
Arizona?
Nope.
Dang.
I'll give you the division.
Okay.
One team is in the AFC South, one team is in the AFC North, and one team is in the
NFC. One at a time. AFC South. Do the Texans go somewhere?
Nope.
Your Colts don't go anywhere.
So this is news to me, because I know Zaire always goes to a hotel. I just don't know how far the hotel is from his actual crib. But yes, they go away.
Okay, so maybe that's it. Maybe they just like do the hotel, kind of like the Commanders used to do in Richmond. Okay, what was the next one? AFC North?
AFC North.
Cincinnati's too cheap to do it. Pittsburgh goes away.
Yep.
They're in Latrobe, Pennsylvania.
Yep.
My good friend Brooke Pryor's, there's some ice cream shop called Millie's that she is posting from frequently. Okay. And then there's one more?
Yeah, the last team is an NFC West. Yeah, NFC West.
NFC West. The Niners, I think, do it at their facility. The Rams technically do it at a college.
They do. You're good at this, man. I would have never guessed any of this. No.
Yeah, the Rams do it. Like, they're also not that far from Oxnard, which Oxnard is just like a suburb of L.A., so, like, it makes sense, but they're not too far away.
Yeah.
But my question for the Rams is, like, isn't that the Rams' facility full-time? Or at least maybe it used to be, and now they have, like, at SoFi, they have their actual deal. I don't know. But they were at I've been there. That's the reason I know it. It's like when the Rams first moved to L.A. and it was 2017, which wasn't their first year in L.A. It was their second year in L.A. But Sean's first year, Commanders played them. I went out early to do a story on McVay, and I had to go to practice on Friday to get some time with him, and that was that. So I went to the actual facility, which is interesting because, like, I was, you know, like when you go out to practice during the regular season, you can, like, watch warmups and then they take you back inside. Mm-hmm. I wasn't even allowed to watch warmups because I was a visiting press. And I was like, huh, the NFL really thinks they're guarding state secrets. That's very silly, but okay, fine. I'll sit in this room and wait. And then Sean will come in and be like, hey, I know you. And got some time to catch up with McVay, which was good. It was a long time ago. And then I saw Jared Goff throw footballs in the Coliseum in a game that I think Washington lost late. Maybe they won late. I don't remember. It was 2017. It was a long time ago. These are the things at the time. You're like, I'll never forget that game. And then you forget it. Anyway, the Bills Hard Knocks was good. Josh Allen is endlessly likable. I'm excited for the Commanders to be on it later in the year with the NFC East. And that's our Hard Knocks recap.
One thing, Deion Dawkins drifting.
Yeah. Dude, his kids?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, that was.
That's scary.
Yeah, that's a no for me.
Yeah.
And especially when there's like other cars out there drifting. And I don't know that he was doing the other cars with his kids. That's especially a no. But that's risky. The scooters bit was hilarious.
Yeah.
Especially the one dude who got the wrong scooter. Yeah, and then also, dude with a snake, get out of here.
I want no parts.
We don't need to go hunting snakes in the Florida Everglades.
Yeah, I want no parts, sir.
No thanks. Leave that to the professionals or just no one. I guess they're an invasive species, so there's probably someone that needs to get rid of them. But Jesus, ugh. When it snapped at the camera?
Yeah.
No thanks. No thanks. All right. That's our Hard Knocks recap. Good thing we got those two things in. When we get back, John Keim on the Commanders-Patriots joint practice.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
You must remember this as the podcast dedicated to stories from the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Stories of sex, murder, institutional racism, bad men, sad women, fascist gossip columnists, and much more. Our new season is called The Old Man is Still Alive, and it's about directors like Alfred Hitchcock and John Ford who got started in the silent era, but were still making movies in the psychedelic 60s. Follow and listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the team at 980. We are streaming on the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, and you can watch us on YouTube as well at the team 980. Right now, it is time to get some take command action for you. John Keim joined us earlier today on the most recent edition of the show, fresh off of his trip to New England for joint practice. This is going to be just part of our conversation. For the full thing, subscribe to Take Command. But without further ado, me, Logan Cakes, talking joint practice here on the Hoffman Show. John, when you think about what you saw yesterday, you're flying back home last night, wake up this morning thinking about what you want to write about. What's the biggest takeaway you had from that joint practice yesterday in New England?
Okay, so biggest takeaway, I don't know if it's a surprise to say that they kind of need Terry McLaurin on the field. And not only Terry, but Noah Brown as well. Two guys who can make plays on the outside. But that's what we've seen throughout training camp practice. Like the receivers, are they getting enough separation down the field? Can they make plays down the field? Because you need that to open up other areas for Zach Ertz and Deebo Samuel. Zach Ertz has had a really good camp and looked really good again the other day. I think the other thing too, Craig, was the defense. That, and you always take these things with a grain of salt, because like, what are they trying to work on? How many of their pressures are they really showing? But they didn't produce the way I thought they would, given how we've seen them play in training camp. And you never know, and Logan, you know this, like sometimes the way you play in camp, like you don't know why are you looking so good? Is it what you're doing? Is it what they're doing or not doing? But I think that's one area where I felt like I was a little bit surprised that they weren't a little bit better, because I still think they're going to be pretty good on defense this year. But this is the hard part to know, is what were they working on and what were they trying to do with their pressures? How much they hold back? But of course, both teams hold back. So, you know.
Yeah. Do you think the stuff with the defense was more matchup related? You know, obviously they've got different kind of caliber receiver over there. Like how did the kind of one-on-one man-to-man matchups go? Because again, the defense has been stellar so far in training.
Right. And I think that's part of it too. Like, you know, for example, I felt like Trey Amos was still really good. Now there was one time where he, you know, guy gets open in the back of the end zone, May misses him, but it was really more of a extended play, right? So he just lost sight of his guy, you know, takes it to the middle, cuts back outside. Mm. But he matched up a couple times against Stephon Diggs. And I really liked what I saw. Like there was one time they're trying to throw a fade to him in the end zone. The thing I love about Amos is how patient he is, the patient feet. He does not open up before you make your move, right? But it's also the two-hand jam into Diggs really disrupted the play. And May throws to him, but he's got no chance because the play was disrupted because of Amos. That's the kind of stuff I love to see out there, right? And then he also, the next play, takes him away too on a similar route. And, just a nice job. So those are the one-on-one matchups you watch. Like Mikey Samuelsso gave up some things on some crossers. That was a little surprising, but, you know, because he's been very sharp throughout the summer. And I thought some of the one-on-ones up front, like this is where it's hard. The hard part, as you know, is like when you're watching a game, you can go back and rewind and rewind and rewind. And sometimes, like, you know, you do this, coaches do this. It's hard to always know live, why did this play not work? You know, who did what? Like there was one time where May takes it up the middle in a red zone drill. There's a four-man rush. Well, it looks like the tackle, Javon Kinlaw, just gets way upfield and it creates a gap in the middle, right? So there's an easy gap for him to run through. Was it something that was it supposed to be the end coming through and replacing? I don't know. Like those are the things you see, but you don't know. You know the what happened, but you don't always know the why. And but you know, sometimes with like that's where you see it in the matchup with the coverages. And then you know, but you still see, like, even in some of the one-on-ones, like I felt like Josh Connolly was better than he had looked in training camp. And there were a couple times that Harold Landry got him inside, but overall I felt like he seemed pretty solid. Laremy Tunsil, really, really good, as you would expect. So, and I think the offensive line.
Right, no kidding.
Exactly. I mean, yeah, how about that? Crazy, a shocking man. That a five-time Pro Bowler was pretty good. But, you know, like people always wonder, like, why was he traded? Was he starting? No. And he's really good. And the other thing with the offensive line, and you have, Wiley's going at left guard. Well, that's Brandon Coleman's spot. That's where he's been working at. Wiley has kind of been bouncing around from every tackle to guard spots. Then you have Allegretti at right guard. Well, eventually it's Sam Cosmi, and you have a rookie right tackle. How long will it take that group to really, to me, I think you could look at the second half of the season and say that group could be really strong at that point because you're going to get more time together. Rookie gets acclimated. Cosmi back in. Then you start to hit your stride down the stretch. Like that is kind of what I'm anticipating. So the fact that they were up and down wasn't surprising to me because of all that.
Yeah, the secondary piece of it, I think that you hear the kind of headline level talk about it. And it's like, well, all of a sudden they faced a different opponent and it didn't go so great. And you have these like horrid 2023 flashbacks of the Ravens joint practice where you realize, oh God, the reason the defense has looked okay so far in camp is because the offense is actually brutal. And considering the no Noah, no Terry for a lot of camp, you have to wonder, like, has the defense been dominant because the receiver caliber they're facing is just not very good? Then you have to remind yourself it's only one day. Like, let's settle down a little bit. Like, let's not jump to conclusions.
You don't really prep for that. That's the other thing just to point out. Right. Is like, you know, in a game, you'd kind of understand, like, oh, this totally. Is what Stephon likes to do. This is the route concept I'm going to match. And you kind of go in blind. And we didn't talk about this earlier, but that was another reason I didn't like joint practice, because you didn't have a lot of like you didn't have like normal kind of game plan stuff. So
right.
I'm not trying to make an excuse, but I do think
right.
There's always kind of a tough joint practice.
Right.
Is tough.
So ultimately the question, John, is like, what do you make of the fact that they did face a higher caliber of juice at receiver? Still, it's not Jaden, but Drake May is a good quarterback, and the defense had one of it, or the secondary, had one of its worst days that it's had.
Yeah, and listen, it's just like what Logan said. Like, I don't think you guys know me enough by now. Like, I don't overreact to good or bad, right? You don't, because it's one piece of the puzzle. It's one part of your preparation. So you don't want to I don't like to extrapolate too much from this. You take it like, okay, this is what we saw today. How does it match up with what we saw the first few weeks of training camp? What is, and then how does that compute, right? And I think that's why I say defensively, we saw really good stuff. But I think just like you guys would say, okay, what does this mean, right? We don't know yet. But I will say, like, I have confidence that Mikey Samristil will have a good season. And Trey Amos was really good. Like, the question there would be Marshawn Lattimore. And I talking to him after the practice, one of the things that he definitely feels like he has his burst back, and they feel like he's moving very well. Like, in talking to multiple people, like, now, of course, you want to see that, and maybe that's sometimes you see what you want to see, but I do think he's moving better. The question, though, is the timing of his game, right? So he talked about, because he hasn't played a lot over the last few years, is getting that footwork to be more consistent on a down-to-down basis, which then allows you to be more consistent. He did give up. There was May threw a nice back shoulder against him that resulted in a touchdown. Good throw. But this is where not having McLaurin, Noah Brown in practice, where you're not seeing them match up against guys who are top. Now, Debo, you see it, right? Like, but Debo's a different dude. He's not your true, he's not like AJ Brown. He's Debo. He's different. But you can match up. But you want to see him match up against a Terry McLaurin to see where is his game at now and give him a better sense of it too. And same thing with even Noah. I mean, Noah's not a number one receiver. We know that. But he was having a good year last year. He's been productive last couple of years outside of the injuries. But he's a legit NFL receiver. So, like, that's the stuff you know, you're not able to really watch in practice. You see it. And in some cases, maybe that's a good thing. So now you're going back and say, okay, don't be fooled by. Like, this is the memory from this practice. Not that you go crazy with it, but don't be fooled by the other stuff too. Like, hey, don't forget, like, don't get lazy here with this. Don't get sucked in thinking this because of what's going on here. And that's not to depth. Like, I think this receiver core, when those other guys are here, there's more depth than there was last year. But, you know, but you're elevating guys to different spots, and then you're covering guys who you may not cover during the regular season.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, like, this may be kind of a personal question, but, like, when do you start making conclusions? Is it week one? Is it week three? Is it after the preseason? Like, when do you kind of say, this thing that I saw when is now starting to come true here? You know what I'm saying? Like, how do
right,
you
know
you're such a measured person? Like, when do you say, like, it's solidified?
Well, I think it also depends, Logan, too. Are you seeing a steady habit of whatever it is you're seeing? Like, you know, if you're seeing this group not being able to separate, well, to me, that's a problem, right? But again, like, you don't have...
And it's been consistent, right? It's been a consistent.
So that if it's consistently happening, then yeah. And then, but with the defense, you know, I do think that they're going to be better. I think they have more ability to be versatile and creative because I think the coverage and what they can do, right? And then I think some of the players they have up front and what they can do. So I think they can be that. I haven't changed my thought on that based on one practice, you know, and I don't think, and here's the other part, Logan, I don't think we're going to know until the season begins because we're not going to see them like the right. Starters in the second preseason game might play one or two series and they're not playing in the third, but you have that Ravens that joint practice as well. Like that to me is another big measuring stick for the starters. How do they look at that time? What's the O-line look like against that group, right? So I think that's, and the defense, that's a great test for them. So, you know, I think that will be the next big measuring stick step for me. And, you know, see, okay, do they look different? Is Lattimore, how does he looking, right? And does the line do a little bit more to generate pressure? Are they, but, you know, it's, but that would be the next measuring step for me. And then season begins, like now it's like, now it's week by week measuring, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. I think the other thing that's, you know, important to point out and some of the discrepancy here is in 2023, for instance, I didn't have a lot of faith in that staff and those players to once the game planning happened to take a big jump. This time around, it's like, oh no, this staff's pretty good at game planning and this is a smart group of dudes. Like they will adapt. Right. Like the gap between practice play and gameplay is probably bigger because of that. So I just wanted to stick a pin in that real quick. On the receiver side of it though, John, without Terry, without Noah, like we said, obviously all eyes are on Luke, on Jalen Lane, on those guys, Strachan, you know, Chris Moore, Jacoby Jones, those guys trying to make the roster at the end. Did anybody stand out in any meaningful way yesterday with the extended reps that they got?
Not really. Jacory Brooks had a nice one-handed catch. They had a nice one-handed catch in the end zone.
There you go.
I did not see it live, and because like you're watching these two fields, and it's your eyes go over here, and then you see them jumping up and down over here. Like, all right, what did I miss? But anyways, like he had that, but he's still a long shot to make the roster, right? So you know, and even if he does, he'd be your last receiver. So it's good for him, really good for him. But we're not talking. I'm looking at guys who are going to contribute, and I didn't see that, right? Like the guys who kept jumping out were Zach Ertz, you know, Debo, Austin Eckler. I mean, the guys that you know what they can do.
Oh, really? Those guys? No way.
Yeah, no.
It's wild. We have John on for extreme insight, and all he tells us is good football players are playing good football. Exactly. I mean, come on. Who make something that? Up. Wow, we need some excitement. We need some pop, baby.
That Ertz guy can play a little bit. So, but I think...
Dude, in some ways, that's a good story in itself. Because, yes. Like, what is he, 34? And he looks better... this year than he did last year. His ability to consistently win versus man coverage is incredible. So,
but I've had people tell me that his footwork is better than it was ever. And you know, but I still liken him. I liken him to like the 35-year-old basketball player at the Y who's got the knee-high socks.
I love this metaphor.
But yeah. Who has the knee-high socks, but just knows how to play. And they're like, you know, young guys come in, you know, he's got the headband. He maybe has some elbow, you know, pads, whatever, but he knows how to play. He knows how to school the young guys because of his old school moves. I think that's like Zach, like he just knows the game so well that he's able to create enough of the separation. And maybe that gets a little bit more yak than he had last year. But I think like that's why I think he can still we're still seeing this from him. Like that's not a mirage.
Yeah.
So but yeah, I don't know that anybody else really I wouldn't say jumped out. You know, so
I guess my question, John, is like who's the sixth receiver for you right now? Because like, you know, a guy that I think is interesting is Strachan because of his movement skills, his size. Like he seems to make a splash play every day, but also will make a bad drop every it's like right. Kind of this yin and yang, like you see what he can be and you see the bad and then you're like, but who's gonna fill out that room and kind of make their claim there,
right? And I think like you saw that yesterday, he got open on a deep one and Josh Johnson just underthrew him at his feet, and he now could he have made the catch? Maybe. It was like down low at his feet and he was several yards behind the defender. Then I think he had another one that went off his hands. I just don't remember. But
he did have a big play that they put up on social media. That's so right. He did have one big catch yesterday too.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
That's every day that's what he does. Yeah. Big play. And,
but I don't know that – is that enough for him to get that sixth spot? So I'm still looking at guys like, you know, an Osborne or a Gallup because they're veterans, right? And, you know, the Chris Moores. But Chris Moore, to me, has he jumped out? I haven't seen
that. Not since OTAs, really.
No, right. And so, you know, I think there have been some drops. Like, so I don't see that. But I still look at those veterans starting off. And then because, and partly too, like what, and this is the other thing too that I like to pay attention to, the special teams units. Like, I love noting who's working on these units and who's in the first group, who's in the second group, because that gives you a lot of clues as to where they might go at any position. So I don't know, Logan. I don't know that anybody separated themselves for that last spot.
And that's the one, because immediately you said Gallup because of his past performance, and he's had flashes in practice sure, but the one that sticks out, the thing about him is like he doesn't do teams work. Like he doesn't do anything.
It's exactly
work.
Right.
So like, how's he going to make the roster as your sixth guy if he's not playing teams? So that room for me is really interesting.
I agree.
I think there's some talented guys, some high upside guys, but no one's really like made it happen. Right, Craig?
Yeah. Well, and then the question is not just like who's wide receiver six real quick, John, like who's wide receiver four?
Yeah.
Like, you know, we know who the options are. We know which guys are going to make the team, but like they're also competing for minutes snaps. Right. And so like that, who's going to actually meaningfully play, not who's going to be either playing only special teams or inactive every week. Like that's a more important question.
No, for sure. Well, listen, you look at that, like Jalen Lane is your punt returner. So he's going to be on the field. Right. And then it's like the one thing with Luke McCaffrey that I think, again, the trickle down from not having these other receivers out there is he's working a lot more on the outside. And is that really where he's going to play during the season in a game? Probably not. So, you know, and he can blow inside and outside, but has he progressed enough? Like you're not seeing to the level I think you would want to given where he was drafted. And so I think there's still some work to do there to see, can he do that? And like, that's one of the things, again, he's a guy to watch in the preseason. Does he separate in these games? And, you know, maybe he's even going against backups, but that's even more reason to get that separation, right? So I think that's definitely, I agree with that, but we know Jalen Lane will contribute and they seem to be excited about him. And they're definitely like, you know, the one thing they talk about, he can run the entire route tree. And that's something they didn't realize. Cliff Kingsbury didn't realize when they got him because at Virginia Tech, it was a little bit more limiting, but there's still some times too, where you're watching him, like when you pay attention to the receivers practice, you know, their portion of practice, and Logan knows I like to watch this because you're right there. And I like to videotape this stuff and then go back and watch it in slow motion. Like, why does this guy do this? Like, how does this route compare to this one? And there was one route where I'm watching where like guys are cutting, but they're cutting on their inside foot on this one particular route. Well, Jalen kept cutting on his outside foot, and Bobby Engram had to kind of work with him on that. So then it's like, but those are not that it's not that it means that he's not doing well. It just means the details of that are what you're still kind of learning and adapting to, right? So when he gets that, what kind of threat can he be? But I also think he's got that speed. And when you watch him at Virginia Tech, like the way they use him horizontally and vertically, he can be a threat in multiple ways. And so, you know, it may be that you try to get him on the field a little bit more. And I don't know yet, but because he can pose a threat with that speed and you want those explosive plays. But here, the last thing on that, Luke blocks pretty well. So that's another factor in this.
But it's interesting hearing you talk about Lane, because to me, he's obviously like that fourth guy right now. You know, Terry, Noah, Debo, like he's made the most plays of the next group. And then it really is like no one's really asserted themselves. And so that group's really interesting. It's really interesting because, like,
I think Jalen's going to make a nice impact, if nothing else, with that punt return stuff. But, and again, watching him there, and like you know, you watch it and you know some of this stuff, and you watch it with B. Mitch and you know that, okay, like what he sees and what you see is like, okay, if I'm seeing this and B. Mitch is saying this, then like, okay, you know, but just watch him, like he gets a quicker first step than other guys. He just does because he's in better position to catch the ball and push off.
When I hang out at practice and watch practice with B. Mitch, I've never been around even special teams coaches who watch returners with such detail.
It's awesome.
Like he gets so juiced for it, right? Oh, you see his feet, you see his hands, and you're like, oh my gosh, I didn't even. Yeah, and obviously it's very technical. And when you play for 14 years and you're one of the best of all time, you're gonna notice the details. But B. Mitch, man, gets so fired up.
It's awesome
that stuff. It's incredible.
I love watching practices with him because. But for that reason, and how, you know, he worked with those guys in the spring for that one day, right? And I know he still talks to Jalen about this stuff, and which is, you know, this too, like everybody always wants the former players to, oh, they should go out there and coach. Not everybody's qualified to do that because they haven't stayed around the game or they have, you know, but B. Mitch is really good at the details of that position. And that's what I think will separate. But you get that quick first step, you make someone move, now you got a chance. And so I think that's why I say with the receiver, there's sometimes with those little details that you see. But even, I agree with you, Logan. I think he's definitely of that group, like between he and Luke and all that, he's jumped out more in that area. And you, when you have speed, man, you want to tap into that. Mm.
Yeah, you got to get those guys in the open field. And obviously, they'll find what. All right, that was John Keim earlier today on Take Command. And if you want the full episode with John, we talked about some of the running back stuff. You definitely want to check that out. Go ahead and hit subscribe on Take Command or hit play on Take Command. You can check out the full episode. Logan and I also look ahead to tomorrow night's game. Share that with you tomorrow here on the radio if you don't have a chance to listen to the podcast because the Commanders play a football game tomorrow. Preseason, but they play a football game tomorrow. As for us here on the radio side, we come back, we wrap up the show next with real things, real people said in real microphones.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports. Other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
You must remember this as the podcast dedicated to stories from the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Stories of sex, murder, institutional racism, bad men, sad women, fascist gossip columnists, and much more. Our new season is called The Old Man is Still Alive, and it's about directors like Alfred Hitchcock and John Ford who got started in the silent era, but were still making movies in the psychedelic 60s. Follow and listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, if you missed any part of the show today, check it out on the podcast feed. Search The Hoffman Show wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, et cetera, et cetera. Started off the show reacting to the news from – it's not really news, just what Jeremy Fowler said on Get Up this morning, that Terry McLaurin and the Commanders are $7 million a year apart on the numbers that they are looking at, which puts Terry's side somewhere around 32 to 34. Commanders somewhere between 25 and 27 probably is based off of that report combined with others where I think this is right now. They probably should meet in the middle at 30 and get Terry McLaurin in camp. That would be cool. But we'll see if one side has to bend farther than the other. And if either side will be bent at all, does one side extend an olive branch? Be like, hey, we'll come a little bit closer. Does that move the other side? Even if they have to inch towards some middle, maybe not the middle, but some middle. You gotta show a willingness to negotiate. Otherwise, you're just, okay, would you do this? No. Would you do this? No. And then you're arguing with a toddler and not doing what you have to do as a professional agent and general manager to negotiate a contract. Anything on TV tonight, Anthony? I guess there's a couple preseason games. Are we interested in any of them?
If Zaire was playing in the Ravens Colts preseason game, one, I would have gone to the game, but I would have watched it. I'm not watching it.
No Anthony Richardson, Daniel Jones fight enough
I lied.
To intrigue.
You're
you?
Right. I will be watching that.
Okay. It's something to watch. It's something.
Yeah.
I'm kinda out on
it. Are you gonna watch the Eagles tonight?
Who's playing for them?
I don't know.
I don't care. Like, that's the thing is I know some, I'm not here to yuck anybody's yum. If you're like football and you'll watch anything, like you're also, you know, you're trying to warm up your fixins for the year. And you know, you're going to be the person that watches the Tuesday night Mac game. Like, we're just different people. And that's, I love that you get football. I'm so happy for you. It's just not my deal. I'm very intrigued in the Commanders tomorrow. Like, I want to see Kane Medrano and Dominique Hampton play linebacker tomorrow for the Commanders. Like, I'm pumped about that. And we'll obviously talk a lot about that game all day tomorrow as it'll be tipping off or kicking off a half hour after we get off the air. But yeah, I'm kind of out on other teams' preseason games. Unless there's like if I knew that I could watch Cam Ward for 20 minutes, I'd be in. I'd watch the Titans for 20 minutes to see what Cam Ward can do. That's about the interest I have in other preseasons. All right, I'll watch some highlights back. Maybe I'll watch a little Richardson, Daniel Jones. You know what happened, but on the front end, I think I have better things I can do with my night. Speaking of better things we can do, real things, real people said in real microphones time. Speaking of the Eagles, they have two of their players. Reed Blankenship and Cooper DeJean, 5 points if you can figure out what they have in common. They have a podcast. They had Jason Kelce on it, and they asked a very fun sports talk radio question to Jason Kelce.
If we lined up the 2017-2018 team against our team last year,
yeah,
be honest.
I saw you guys ask this to Chris. I think especially by the time we had been in the Super Bowl, you know, we had already lost our starting quarterback. Jason Peters is out. Darren Sproles was out. And, like, listen, we won, but – you know, it took everything we had to beat the Patriots. And you guys beat the team that's been the best team in the NFL for Pat Mahomes has been in the conference championship every year of his career. Year. Yeah, this is just finished his seventh season. And you guys, like, it wasn't even close.
No.
So watching how you guys ended the season, I don't know how you could realistically think that we would beat you guys. But I'll tell you this, just being a competitor, we beat the fuck out of you.
I love it. I love it. I was honestly waiting on you to say that.
I was waiting for something, yeah.
Waiting on it.
So the competitor in you never dies. You'd find a way. You'd find a way. That Eagles team last year is one of the best teams in the history of the NFL.
Yeah, that team.
Like, legitimately, they should be talked about the way we talk about some of the other great teams in NFL history. Once they got healthy, they just absolutely cooked. Obviously, the Commanders got them the one time, but, man, they just absolutely cooked, and that defense was so nasty. Meanwhile, elsewhere in the NFC East, the Giants are trying to figure lots of things out on and off the field. The off-the-field ones are more fun for social media content. Like, how do you term adjusting the air conditioning?
If you want to make it colder, do you turn your AC up or down?
You turn it down. I feel like this is an easy question.
Oh, what kind of question is this?
Turn it up.
turn the AC down.
What is wrong with you?
So look, temperature goes up, right?
Bro,
you can turn the fan up. Look, the fan is going to continuously blow, right? Whether the temperature is down or the temperature is up. AC is cold weather.
It's called air conditioning.
Air conditioning.
So you want the air conditioning to go up.
Damn, let me turn the AC down a little bit and get this temperature a little bit lower.
Bro, you turn the AC up, dog.
If I want to make it colder, you turn it down. So it'll go from 80 to 75, 75 to 70.
Turn the AC up, temperature goes down. Turn the AC down, temperature goes up.
I'm turning my AC down.
You turn the thermostat down, you turn the AC up.
Read the damn question.
If you want to make it colder, do you turn the AC up or down?
You turn the AC down.
Down.
You turn it down, but you turn the switch up. Do you turn the thermostat up or do you turn it down when you go to the thermostat?
That's not the same thing. That's the thermostat, not the air conditioning.
No, you're not going to get me with this one.
Turn it down. Is it pressing the down
button? Down, for sure.
Turn the temperature down.
Anthony, which one is it for you?
So you're turning the temperature down.
Yes.
So you're turning the AC up.
I agree with that. I think, hey, if you turn the AC up, people know you want to make it colder.
Yeah.
You don't have to make it more complicated. Silly Giants. ACs are for adults. That's our show for today. Anthony will be back on Monday. I'll see y'all tomorrow here on the Team 980.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
You must remember this is a podcast about the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.